The topic given to me this morning is about the coming judgment. Not an easy topic to deal with, because whatever is lies in the future is a challenging topic for the present time. The coming judgment. Now, in the Bible, there are mentioned at least 5 judgments. One of them is past, the judgment upon the Lord Jesus Christ because of our sin. Another one is the present judgment that we are called upon to do in our life on earth. For example, when we come to the Lord's Supper, we are told in 1 Corinthians 11:28 that to examine ourselves, judge ourselves, that we partake of the Lord's Supper worthily, lest we drink condemnation to ourselves. Some of you may not realize it. Some of you may think that the Lord's Supper is just any service, like any other service. But your presence here demands an examination on your part to be present, so that when you take of the bread and when you take of the cup, you do so in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you do not allow other thoughts to come into your mind, to pray upon them, to put aside the thought of the Lord Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection for you. That's the present. Then 3 other judgments to follow are future judgments. They are the still future. I have been told here to speak on 2 future judgments. The judgment seat of Christ, and part 2 will be 2 weeks later, because next week is Father's Day, on the judgment at the great white throne. There's a 3rd one, but I do not know why it's left out, but we leave it as it is. The 3rd one is the judgment of the sheep and goat. I'll just mention it in passing later on. Now, there is a controversy with regard to the future judgments. As I mentioned, there are 5 judgments, and we must know how to distinguish between one from the other. But generally speaking, there are other people in other places who think that there is only one judgment, one resurrection and one judgment, when all will be raised together and all will be facing that judgment together, all together, one judgment. And it is not surprising that they come to this, because certain Bible verses indicate that. For example, one general resurrection and one general judgment. Hebrews 9:27, we read, is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The fact that these people who will once die and will have to face judgment means they will be resurrected. And therefore, there's one death, one resurrection, and one judgment. It's not surprising, therefore, they come up with this teaching that there is only one general resurrection and one judgment. We shall see whether it's correct or not as we go on. Also, the Lord Jesus Christ told Martha that her brother, who had died, would one day rise again. Oh, yes, I know that. She said, I know that he, Lazarus, shall rise again in the resurrection of the last days. Again, she mentioned, in the resurrection and the last days. So seemingly to be in her thinking, only one resurrection when all will be raised together. Then again, the Lord Jesus Christ seemed to give the impression in John 5:28-29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and then they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation or condemnation. And there you are, one resurrection, and all these will be judged and will be condemned or will be set free. So there seems to be this one resurrection and one judgment to come in the future. Let's look at another one in the Old Testament, Daniel 12:1-2. At that time there shall be a time of trouble referring to the great tribulation that will come upon the Jews, and we have indication of such coming already in our present generation as we see what's happening in the Middle East, such as never was since there was a nation even in that same time. And at that time, the people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, that's a resurrection, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt, that's judgment. And so, there you are, these verses seem to teach that there is only one general resurrection and one general judgment. But is this what the Bible teaches? Is this what the Bible teach? Look, now, Revelation chapter 20, verses 5 and 6. It says there, the rest of the dead, suggesting there are people who are dead, who are resurrected, the rest of the dead, they remain dead. Okay? The rest of the dead live not again, they remain dead. Until the 1,000 years were finished, they had to remain dead until 1,000 years elapsed. This is the first resurrection. The welfare that is mentioned, this is the first resurrection, suggests to us that is the second resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. The first fact that's mentioned, a second death, suggests that there is a first death. So, in this verse alone, you have the suggestions, the first resurrection, the first death, and the second death. The first resurrection and the second resurrection. Those who take part in the first resurrection shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Then will take place the second resurrection and the second judgment, leading to the second death. And so we see these verses in Revelation 25 and 6 are very clear. Now, first resurrection. There are more than one resurrection so far in the past already. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Would that be the first resurrection? And therefore, followed by a general resurrection, that would be the second resurrection. There you are. First resurrection, second resurrection. But then, when the Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected, there were people, saints, in the tomb who were also resurrected. Then there will be the resurrection of those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will be raptured into heaven. Where does this come in? Then there is still one resurrection of those people who would die, the Jews, especially in the Great Tribulation. They die, they will be resurrected, because we read in Revelation chapter 5 that we shall see these saints who have come out of the Great Tribulation. So when were they raised? And therefore, what is meant by the first resurrection that we read of in Revelation chapter 20 just now? The first resurrection definitely cannot be referring to just one single resurrection. It refers to a few stages of resurrection, named as the first resurrection. Therefore, in this first resurrection is or are the resurrection of Christ, then the rapture of the resurrection of the church, and the rapture, then the resurrection of the tribulation saints. That will be resurrection, first resurrection. When does the second resurrection take place? The rest of the dead that did not take part in this first resurrection of these three stages will then take place in the second resurrection, and in the second resurrection they will be judged and they will be thrown into the lake of fire and known as the second death. Then when did the first death take place? The first death took place when they first died physically. When they died physically. When you and I die, that will be the first death. Then, it's why it says, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. For these other people. So the second death is the final judgment to come. Now, consider three separate judgments before three different thrones. There cannot be one general judgment and one general resurrection, because in the Bible there are mentioned for us at least three different judgments. How do we know? Because the judgments are taking place before three different thrones of judgment and three different times in three different spheres. Namely, the saints at the judgment seat of Christ in heaven. There will be the judgment, and this we shall consider in detail this morning. The saints at the judgment seat of Christ, when all those who belong to Christ will be resurrected, and they will be taken up into heaven to face the judgment seat. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ. Please note, the dead in Christ, not the dead outside of Christ. Only the dead in Christ are involved. They shall rise first. Why? Because there will be others who are not dead in Christ, but who are alive in Christ at this time. They then will be caught up in the rapture to be in heaven. Then we which are alive and remain, that's the people I referred to just now when I mentioned that, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So let me put it briefly. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, he will not come down to earth. In the midst, he will come in the clouds, and he will give a shout, and all those who are dead in Christ will be raised first. Then those who are alive, like all of us, if he comes at this moment, will be caught up, will be changed. Our bodies will be changed. We need to have a special body to live the eternal life to follow. Then we shall be caught up together with them in the air. Then we shall be brought back to the room with the Lord to heaven. And then will take place the judgment seat. What it is, we shall refer. And so, after that, we shall ever be with the Lord. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, 6-10 again. For we must all appear, we, referring to those who are in Christ, must, no exception, all, everyone, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Everyone who is in Christ, we who are in Christ, we shall be judged. We shall face the judgment seat of Christ. So the judgment seat of Christ is for believers. Those who are not believers are not reckoned here. They are not mentioned here. Second judgment, future judgment, second judgment. This is the sheep and the goats at the throne of glory on earth. Matthew chapter 25, 31 to 46. We shall not be discussing this in detail because this is not in the syllabus given to me. Matthew 25, 31 to 46, an extract from that passage. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations on earth. He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Note please, the Son of Man shall come in his glory. In the first one, for the saints, the man shall come in the moment, in the clouds. But here, in his glory, all will be able to see him. He shall sit upon the throne of his glory, and judgment will be upon earth, on the nations before him. Those who have treated the Jews well, and those who have not treated the Jews well, they will be separated, and they will be meted out judgment. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. In the case of the judgment seat of Christ, we shall go. After judgment, we shall be with him forever. But here, after judgment, they will go into everlasting punishment, the unrighteous, and the righteous will enter into life eternal. All right. And so you see, there's a great difference. And graphically, let me just explain this to you. First, there will be the rapture in heaven of all those who are in Christ. Then will take place the great tribulation, when the Jews will be ill-treated, they will suffer great tribulation, and the sign of such a great tribulation is there now for us to see in the Far East development today. Can we imagine such an event as we see now happening? 1,200 years, 300, 1,000 years ago. Can we imagine that? But the prophecy was that they would be going through such an event. And there we are seeing the precursor to such an event. And if this will come take place, then the event that takes place after the judgment of the sheep and goats will take place. And so we have the sheep and goat judgment, and then they're followed by the millennium, 1,000-year reign of Christ upon earth, and after that you have the judgment at the great white throne, which we shall be discussing in detail 2 weeks later. That, we are skipping the sheep and the goat because we are not discussing that. It's not in my syllabus. Now we come to the sinners at the great white throne. That's the second one, which I shall be discussing with you 2 weeks later. The sinners at the great white throne. What is this judgment? Then I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whence face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. No place. With regard to the judgment of Christians, the judgment seat of Christ. Christ comes, he takes his church up into heaven, and there judgment takes place. In the case of the sheep and goat, Christ comes, he will judge all those who have badly treated the Jews, and is on earth, the sheep and the goats. But with regard to the great white throne, it says that the earth and the heaven will flee away. No more heaven, no more earth, and in space, the judgment will take place. There can never be one general judgment. Definitely there are at least three specific judgments which are not of the same type. And look at the results. The dead, small and great, standing before God, all from the ages, from all the generations. Well, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were all judged, one according to their works. It is a judgment of works. The judgment that the Lord Jesus Christ went through was a judgment on sin, our sin. And the one that we have to go through, the judgment at the great the judgment seat of Christ, would be a judgment of our motives and our works. But this one solely on their works. Can God save them? No. All of them, all, no exception, will be cast into the lake of fire. That will be the second death from which there will be no escape. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Notice, the book of life was never used in the judgment at the great judgment seat of Christ. But here, the book of life is used to prove to the people that they do not have life because their names are not found there. All right. There can be no general judgment because the scriptures speak of one judgment as being in the air, the rapture. Another speak of it on the earth, the sheep and the goats. And another, after heaven and earth have been burned away, all the people throughout all the generations of history, you have to face the judgment at the great white throne. All those who did not rise again from the dead in the first two judgments, will all now rise. Those who have been dead will rise to face death, the second death. That is the great judgment to come. If you are born once, you will die twice. If you are born twice, you will die once. I hope you get that statement correct. If you are born once, you have never been born again, then you will die twice. The first death, physically, and the second death, eternally. But if you are born twice, physically, and then spiritually born again, then you will die only once. You will not die the second death. So this is generally the outline of the future judgment to come. Pointed out, there are at least five judgments. The judgment number one, the judgment of our sins, borne by our Lord Jesus Christ. Judgment number two, the judgment at the great white throne. Judgment number three, the judgment of the sheep and goats. And sorry, I forgot also the judgment of ourselves for the Lord's Supper. And judgment number five is the judgment leading to the second death. Well, that's just a rough picture. Let me give you another one. Just have to hammer in the understanding of these future judgments. Now, three future judgments wait for us. One is the judgment at the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ. Two is the judgment of the sheep and goats on earth. And three, the last judgment, the judgment at the great white throne. So, future judgments, three, waiting for us to take place. We are involved only in one, where we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Alright, that is study now, judgment seat of Christ. What it is? Because it involves us, we have got to study in detail what is to come, what we are to face. The judgment seat of Christ is mentioned in Romans 14:10 and 2 Corinthians 5:10 and 1 Corinthians 3:10-15. And we shall study these three passages in detail. Firstly, the mention, judgment seat of Christ. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The NRSV and the NIV use the judgment of God. But actually, I would think it should be better, the judgment seat of Christ. Why? We read 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that all versions, NIV as well as NRSV. Why do I specifically specify that it's better for the judgment seat of Christ rather than God? Because we read in John chapter 5 and verse 22 that the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. So while the Father can be regarded as the judge in all, yet He has given this responsibility to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think a better term, therefore, and not to confuse the whole issue, is to use the judgment seat of Christ rather than in the NIV, the judgment seat of God. But then, again, they realize that in 5:22, they call it the judgment seat of Christ. Alright, first dimension, that there is such a thing as the judgment seat of Christ. Alright, dimension. Secondly, the meaning. What does the judgment seat mean? The judgment seat is the Greek word bima. Bima. It is different from other judgments, other seats. is a special word, the bima. And it refers to, according to Strong, a raised platform or tribunal from which speeches were delivered and judgments were made. As we read in Acts 12:21, 18:12, 25:6. If you are taking down notes, then these are the references you should refer. I will not refer because of time. Historically, this word bima is used to refer to a raised platform. So anything that is a raised platform is the bima. And to be more detailed, it is a raised platform with steps. A raised platform with steps for you to go higher than the one to be judged. That's the bima. Historically, in the Greek culture, it's a judgment seat set foot on. That's where you set to go up, to sit, you set foot on. There are steps. Now that literally is bima. Judicial use, it is a seat for judges, as used when making or ruling in a court of law. The judge will sit in his tribunal seats, and then he will pronounce the judgment, as you see here. Or it is also used for public speaking by orators. Again, the orator will walk up on the steps to a raised platform and then speak. There's a speaker's corner. Or it's used also in athletics, as used in a running race, where the judge is seated on a raised platform to judge who is first, second, third, fourth, fifth. Now, I believe that this bima that we refer to in the judgment seat of Christ more refers to this, where a judge is seated at the finishing line. That's why Paul says, I finished the race. Finishing line, to see who crosses the finishing line. Those who cross the finishing line will be rewarded. They will receive their prizes. Those who fall behind, well, they will still receive. But those who fail, well, they will not receive, but they will not be punished. Not that, please. While those who fail to cross the finishing line will not receive any reward, as those who have finished the finishing line, they will not be punished. They will not be punished. They will be ashamed, perhaps, for being last. As I run the race, I'm sure to get last. I'll be very ashamed, but never mind. But the point is, I will not be punished. So, this is what we need to know regarding the judgment seat of Christ. That all will have to face the judgment seat of Christ. And those who have done well will be rewarded. Those who have not done well, they will be ashamed for their unfaithfulness to the law. And they will not be rewarded. Using James 2:6 as a rule of judgment, where the judge sits and then he faces what is going on, then he will pronounce his judgment, pass or not pass. The motives. The judgment seat of Christ is a judgment not for our sin. The judgment on sin took place when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. This is a judgment of motives. Things done unto the law. Romans 14:6-8. Whether we live unto the law, and whether we die unto the law. It is a reward for those who do service for the Lord. Those who work in the church quietly. No eye sees, but the Lord sees. He rewards. It is a judgment of motives. On what you do secretly for the Lord with your heart. Not on what you do ostentatiously before men. No. What you do quietly with a heart motive to do for the Lord. So whether you live or whether you die, you do it unto the Lord. is also a judgment of works. 1 Corinthians 3:13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what it is. Work does not mean any work that you do. Work means that that work will be tested. How will it be tested? By fire. Fire will burn. Whatever work you put in front of the Lord, the fire will burn all the stubborn and all the nonsense, leaving behind what is true: gold, silver, or precious things. Paper, fresh, everything will burn. It is a test of fire. Your motives, what you do for the Lord, is it out of a desire to show off to others, or you do it quietly as unto the Lord? You will get your reward at that time. Perhaps not at this time. People do not recognize you. Never mind. Do it as unto the Lord, and He will reward you at that time. So try every man's work of what sort it is. The moment in time, when will this take place? In the future. It has not taken place yet. After the rapture, maybe. After all those who are dead in Christ are raised, those who are alive are changed, then both caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and then the judgment at the great white, the judgment seat of Christ. When we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, therefore it's still future. Romans 14:10. When we shall all stand, it's not past yet. When He might be Lord both of the dead and the living. When all the dead and the living in Christ are gathered together. And when can that be? Only after the rapture. When the dead in the graves, when the alive who are there when He comes, all will be caught up together, and together they feast. When both are there. And when will there be both there? When? After the rapture. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hid hearts, and then shall every man have peace of God. The whole idea of the judgment seat of Christ is to reward. It's not to make you miserable, otherwise you'll be miserable in heaven. Nobody wants to be miserable in heaven. You'll get your reward. That every man may have praise of God. Let each one of us here make ourselves worthy to have the praise of God when the time comes. The manner. Therefore, while we are on earth here, judge not others' motives. Leave all judgment unto the Lord, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Today, in our relationships one with another in the church, please do not judge one another. Do not judge one another. Let the Lord judge. You cannot see into the heart of the person. And you cannot know what he is thinking or what she is thinking. Let it all be surrendered to the Lord. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat. Romans 14:10. Matthew 7:1-5. Do not misjudge the practice of others in respect to motives. By all means, you can judge, but never judge motives. Oh, you know why he does that? Just because of this and this. No! You can judge the works. By your works, you shall know them. Judge them. If they preach false doctrine, judge them. Don't judge them for what they do that you cannot see as unto the Lord. Leave that to the Lord. Do not judge a person's motives. I think, you know, he does this. You know why he does this? Because of this, this, and that. That is not your work to do. Leave it to the Lord. What that person does is between him and the Lord, not you. Each one is accountable for his or her action, not you. Do not put a stumbling block in the path of another. If a person hurts you, judge him. Leave it to the Lord. Lord, I surrender him or her to you. You deal with him. In, as regard to you, try to be as friendly as possible. Try to be as good. Do not judge. And do not put a stumbling block in the path of another. Romans 14, 13, 21. If a person finds that keeping a certain day, the Lord's Day, as holy, let him keep it as holy. Don't say, oh, Sunday is already passed, no more. Do not keep it, forget it. You won't get rewarded. If he feels that he wants to keep Sunday to himself, as I did when I was very young, I grew up with Sunday, the Lord's Day, being very, very precious. I would never even travel on a Sunday because I feel that is the Lord's Day. But that's for me. But for you, it's different. Do not put my standard for your standard. And do not let your standard be mine. So let the Lord's standard be there. As a man does it, or as a woman does it unto the Lord. Let each be fully persuaded of the Lord. Let him be convinced that it is the Lord that he does this or he does that. Let each then pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. I hope I have time to read all those references. Please go home. Read Romans chapter 14. It will be a tremendous challenge for you practically. Do this as your homework until 2 weeks to come. Read Romans 14 and see for yourself the practical challenges that you must do to prepare yourself for the judgment seat of Christ. Consider the weaker brother and abstain if an action can offend. Just because to you that particular activity is right, is good, you don't care. It may stumble your brother. It may offend your sister. I don't care. That's his own funeral. I do what I want. You may do what you want. You may not do what the Lord wants. And the Lord wants you to be responsible for that thing. Follow Christ who pleased not himself, being reproaches, bearing reproaches that fell on him. If the Lord Jesus Christ has an example to forgo for the sake of us all, let us be able to forgo for the sake of our weaker brothers and sisters. That is also the teaching of 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Judge not that you be not judged. Now, that is Matthew 7:1. But in the later chapter, he said, we are told, judge the works of evil workers. Works that are not motives we can judge, because we can see them. Motives that we cannot see, don't judge. Don't judge. Well, that's the judgment seat of Christ in Romans 14. There's another passage which is very clear on judgment seat of Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:10. And we read, wherefore we labor, that whether we present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he had done, whether be good or bad. And here you are. This judgment very clearly, all must appear. And what you do in your body, out of your body, you are responsible to give the reason for what you do when you face the judgment seat of Christ. Your works will be tested. Works will be tested. We must all appear. Now I'm basing study on 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before judgment seat. So there is no escape. All must appear. That is all we. Paul uses the pronoun we in the passage all the time. Not they, but we. And who are the we? They are the believers. And the word we occurs 26 times at least in the chapter alone. All who are in Christ. Those absent from the body and those present with the Lord. Absent from the body, that means you are present. Absent from the Lord means you are present in the body. Present with the Lord means you are absent from the body. And so all must face the judgment seat of Christ. Those saints in the Church of God addressed in Corinth, 2 Corinthians 21, the whole church, the church, referring to the spiritual church, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will face the judgment seat of Christ. All must account. All, every one of us shall give account to God. Romans 14:12. I've emphasized that already. Why? Some will receive a reward, others will suffer loss. As I said, it is not a case of punishment. The judgment seat of Christ is a case of suffering loss. At worst, suffering shame for not doing what you ought to do, for the Lord who loved you and gave his life for you. That's the punishment that you will face. Not in hell. Note, Paul was ready to count all gain as loss for Christ. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of his name, that Paul might serve the Lord. All seek to abide in him, not to be ashamed. 1 John 2:28, that we try in our lives, that we shall not be ashamed when he appears. Suppose the Lord is to come this very moment and catches us doing things that we are doing, will he be happy? Will he be unhappy with us? If he will be unhappy, we shall be ashamed. The assessment. How will we be assessed? Everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether they could or bad. You will receive what you do. Is it good? What does a good mean? The word good is from the word beautiful, but chiefly it refers to virtue. A person being virtuous, moral standards must be high. Is it bad? Bad from a word meaning worthless, good for nothing, fit to be thrown away. So, whatever works you do, assess them and see that they are good and not bad. The teaching in 1 Corinthians 3:11 to 15, the judgment seat of Christ, is mentioned there about the judgment of believers, the people who will be there again, believers. 1 Corinthians 3:11. It involves one who builds on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. That's why the foundation of the church is mentioned. It involves one who lives or dies unto the Lord, because he is the Lord. Romans 14:8. It involves one who is either absent from the Lord or present with the Lord. So, all these are believers. The judgment seat of Christ is definite for believers. There is no such thing as a general resurrection and a general judgment. There are specific resurrections and specific judgments for the specific purpose. The purpose for the judgment seat. In 1 Corinthians 3:13, he endorses what I said earlier in other passages. To test every man's work of what sort it is. Again, man's work, man's motive. It is the test of works and the motive that inspires them. Why does he do what he does? What is his motive? Is it for the Lord or for his own self-glory? The work can be gold, silver or precious stone. In other words, maybe small, maybe little, but it's quality. Gold, silver, precious stone. Or it can be quantity, wood, hay, stubble. It's all quantity. So the Lord does not look in what we do for quantity, but rather for quality. The figure of the fire, all these shall be tested by fire, says there in 1 Corinthians. Why by fire? The figure of the fire. In this judgment, the fire will burn up the stubble. All that is stubble, thresh, paper, grass, all that will be burned up, although there is a lot of quantity. And the saints will suffer loss, but he shall be saved. Please note. The saints who is tested will suffer loss. all the works will be burnt up because wood, hay, stubble. But he shall be saved. 1 Corinthians 3:15, underline that. Very important. He shall be saved. Judgment seat of Christ is for believers. It is not a punishment to send believers to hell. It is not to send believers to be to a place of penitence. No, it is that everyone is to be rewarded or not rewarded and be saved. No saved person will be lost. In the judgment, in the day of the Lord, the fire will burn the sinners as stubble and will leave them neither physical nor as branch. All will die in the great white throne. We shall see that 2 weeks more. Right. That one, all who face the judgment will be lost. Right, the product. Either he will suffer loss, though he will be saved, so as by fire. The person at the judgment seat of Christ will be saved, but as through fire. Just imagine, you have a house. The house is on fire, and you manage to get out of the house. What do you have? Nothing. Except yourself. Save as through fire. So the challenge to all of us is, are we going to heaven? Save as through fire. Save! I'm saved! I'm saved! I can go to heaven! As through fire. Nothing to show. Nothing to take along. Nothing. Or will he receive a reward? And we are told in scripture there are at least 5 possible crowns that will reward us. For example, the crown of life is referred for the ones who are martyred. Those who will die for the Lord, they will receive the crown of life. Alright? Then there is also another crown, the crown of glory. This is given to people like our brother, elder Mr. Edward Lowe. A crown is reserved for him. And for others who are big pain and so on, who are elders. They do their work, the chief shepherd will come, the chief shepherd will. They will stand before the judgment seat and they will be rewarded. And we shall be witnesses. The crown of rejoicing, but what about us? Are we going to receive any crown? Yes, if you are soul winner, win others for the Lord Jesus Christ and you will have a crown. Yes, dearly beloved, long for my joy and crown. Paul says the people whom he wrote to, they were his crown. The crown of rejoicing. The crown of righteousness is given to those who love his appearing. Ah, that's for you and me. When we are not elders, we are not martyrs, but we can look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Live our lives according to his coming, and we shall receive our crown of righteousness. But better still than all, for those who cannot do anything, don't say you cannot do anything. You will receive the incorruptible crown of the victor's crown. Every man that serveth and temperate in all things will receive. They do obtain a corruptible crown, but we incorruptible. I therefore run, so fight, and I keep under my body, bringing it under subjection. Be an ordinary Christian if it should be, but finish the race. Run the race. Finish the course that is before you. Fight the good fight, and you receive your crown. Alright. So, one day, we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we shall receive our rewards accordingly. And apart from the crowns, there will be honor and the God's grace bestowed upon you. Alright. With that, we are going to finish very quickly. He will be rewarded for good works. What are the possible good works that you cannot, you are not an elder, you can do? Well, the good works of witnessing, witness of the Lord, Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. The good works of walking in his workmanship, Ephesians 2:19. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The good works of worshipping God. Worshipping God is a itself an act of good work, with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. 1 Timothy 10. And so, if after good works of charity, this woman was full of good works and alms deeds. Acts 9:36. Good works of generosity, be rich in good works. Good works of maturity as the man of God, growing and developing in your Christian life, equipped for every good work. Consistency in all things, showing yourself to be a consistent Christian or witness for the Lord. Loving the assembly. Just love the assembly. Attend the meetings. Come to the meetings. Because if you do that, you are also doing a good work. And help others to come also. Okay, so with that, I come on to a conclusion. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Be faithful in what the Lord has given you. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let no man beguile you of your reward. The reward is yours. No man can take it from you. Get it. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man can take your crown. Let no man take your crown. Your crown has been reserved for you if you are faithful to the Lord. That's for now. We'll see you again, and we shall deal with the judgment at the great white throne, and be prepared to be very, very frightened when you speak, when you study the judgment at the great white throne. I'm not sure whether I will just perhaps touch on the judgment of the sheep and goats, leading on to the judgment of the great white throne. So with that, let me end. The notes are all will be found in my website on Tuesday. So if you find too fast to take down notes, all the notes are there. Thank you.